Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, that we are here today, living and breathing. And Father, we just thank you for this wonderful spring. We know it's upon us pretty soon anyway. And Lord, we know the resurrection time is in the spring, so hopefully it'll be this year. But Father, we just commit ourselves to studying thy word in Jesus Christ's name, preparing our homes for the going home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Looks like we got half a church this morning. So anyway, this morning I'm going to look at a subject, arming yourselves with the word. And it's all about the deception in the word. And that's the main thing that we have to look upon. So in Romans 1:18, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unright wiseness." That word is unrighteous, is unright wiseness of men who hold the truth in an unright wise thinking. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shown it unto them. We are told that these men will actually hold down or suppress the truth. So you ask yourself, why? Well, because they have their own personal motives for getting you away from the truth. Now, whether it be money, whether it be popularity, women, it's one of those three, Brother Branham said. Now, in 2 Timothy 3:13, we're told that these men who deceive are also themselves deceived. For evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now, if you have a deception take place, someone's deceiving you. Now, if they know they're deceiving you, there may be some telltale signs of their deception, you know, their body language. But if they're deceived themselves, then they are more sincere, okay? So notice it says, not only are they deceiving, but they are being deceived. Now, in Ephesians 4:14, we're told also that these men actually will lie in wait to deceive. So they're planning and plotting, okay? How can I do this? How can I do that to get more people, whatever? "That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive." Now, I know there's some goody two-shoes out there who say, oh, people don't willfully deceive. The Bible says they do, right there. Just read it for yourself. "Whereby they lie in wait to deceive." All right. Now, these men are with their ulterior motives. Okay, that is why Brother Ram always told us to check our motives. Motives play a very important part and really tell us a lot from where you have your source. Now, I got this one from Brother Peter, and he says, from Perseverant, "And the first thing, your achievement is only by your motive and your objective. Your motive has got to be right, and your objective has got to be right. If your objective is right and your motive is wrong, then it won't happen. You have got to have the right objective, and you have got to have the right motive." So we see that, you know, if you just have half of that right, if your objective is to serve Christ, but you're going to serve him with a wrong motive, you're going to serve him, you know, with your own willful ignorance, he's going to take you off. All right, he says, "And then take it upon the leading of the Holy Spirit in your heart and stay with God. God will bring it to pass." How do you stay with God? Well, you know, the Catholic Church thinks they're serving God. They're not. They're serving the devil. And but they think they're serving God because, you know, they've got a historical Jesus and a historical God. But God is the Word. And if you're serving God outside of the Word, outside of Spirit and truth, you're wrong, okay? Now, in John 3:19-21, it says, "And this is a condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, or in a greater measure than light, because their deeds were evil. And everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth will come to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought," or that they are sourced in God. Okay? So we see the actions of the two groups. One who flees from the word and won't go near it, and the other one who runs to it, and their motive is exposed by their flight pattern. Okay, you either fly to the word or you fly away from it. Now, just as the yellow warbler and the yellow finch are identified by their flight pattern as well, one makes a beeline and the other kind of rises and sinks, okay, as it flies across the sky. They both got the same objective, okay, to get to the honey or get to the honeysuckles or whatever. But their motives are different, okay? One actually beeline, the other, okay? That identifies their species. Now, in Matthew 23:13, he says, "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in." In other words, the kingdom of God is within you. Well, it's the Holy Spirit. And so they do everything they can to get people to look to programs, look to music, look to running around the church, everything else, except, instead of looking to the Holy Spirit, cleansing out their life and getting them ready for the word. So we're told the reason those who oppose the truth will not allow others to go in is because they won't go in themselves. Why? Because John told us that they would be exposed by the light. And Paul actually told us that. From Ephesians 5:13, it says, "But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light." Now, notice the scripture tells us that all things are exposed by the light. You see, we are warned by Jesus and Paul and Peter and Jude and James and John and even William Branham that false anointed men will rise and speak perverse things, drawing away disciples after themselves. But we are warned to flee from such, okay? Now, Acts 20:27-32, For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you. Not Muslims. No, they're not entering in among you. Not Jews, they're not entering among you. These are people that claim to be Christians, okay? Not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. What's a perverse thing? It's something that's like, see, adultery is a perverse act because it's taking the righteous act and turning it into fornication or adultery. Okay, in other words, going outside what it was meant for, to procreate, it's used for other things. It's used for pleasure, it's used for everything else. Okay, so, lying and stealing are not sins, Brother Branham said. They're attributes that you're a sinner, okay? And as I said before, smoking and drinking, that's not sins. It's attributes that you don't believe, okay? So therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Now, Paul was a hook-nosed Jew, as Brother Branham said, had a temper. He says, for 3.5 years I preached until I cried. Tears. And yet some would say, well, Brother Brian, you're just too tough on people. I'm certainly not crying tears. But the Apostle Paul was. He preached so hard. Now, I preach hard, but not to where I, like Paul. Okay. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Beware of false prophets, Matthew 7, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? In other words, do these fruited plants, are they all sickly and stuff so you can't actually get to the fruit? Or do they allow you to get to the fruit? Even so, every good tree, and men are like the trees, bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Now, what's evil fruit? It's the fruit from another season. It has fruit, right? But it's just corrupted, okay? A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. A good tree has fresh fruit, not day-old fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Brother Brown says the fruit is the teaching of the season. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Now notice Jesus said, you shall know them by their fruits, which Brother Branham taught us is a teaching for the season in which they live. All right. Is what they teach for the season, is what they emphasize for the season. Well, I don't believe that if you're called to preach in this hour that you're going to preach a Methodist dogma, or you're going to preach a Baptist doctrine, or you're going to preach a Pentecostal doctrine. Okay? Brother Brown says it's a million miles beyond Pentecost. So why are they doing it? Why are they doing it? You shall know them by their fruits. Now, I didn't mention any names, okay? So just get off my case. I'm just saying what the scripture says. Now, from Satan's Eden, Brother Brown said whatever he said would take place. He said it would happen in those last days, that he would do certain things, and he done it. He has to ask nobody whether it's time or not. He knows what the time is and what the plan is. Now, Satan, this deceiver, he spoke in Matthew 24:24 with so much deceit. Now, we find that by his gospel program of knowledge. Now, he's just talking about God laying out his word and you know, you'll know them whether it's true or not by the fruit for the season. And he says, you know, nobody's going to tell God what his plan is. God has a plan. He's going to do certain things in this season. You're going to either accept them or reject them, okay? But notice how Satan, it deceives. He gets your eyes off what God is doing right now or has done in the season of the shout. And he gets you to buy better education, higher ethics, civilization, and so forth. I'll add music to that. Has bewitched the people that wants to serve God into believing his lie. Oh, I just felt so good when that sister sang. It's just so beautiful. What does that have to do with nothing? All right? Eve did not want to do that, but he showed her how it was more wisdom in it. Now, if Satan's objective is to take you away from the word, all right, and God's objective is to bring you to the word, then you know the motives right there. She didn't know. She wanted to know. How many people sitting in the churches today want to know, but they're not told about it? I heard a minister one time said, well, you know, we actually, after studying this out, we realized Brother Brian's telling us the truth, but you know what? We just don't need to preach it. All right? So you're not going to preach truth. Well, if you worship God, you worship him in spirit and what? Truth. And so you don't worship him in spirit and music. You worship him in spirit and truth, okay? Now, she didn't know. She wanted to know. She didn't understand. But she wanted to understand. And I ask you this morning, we might not understand everything, but we want to understand everything. All right? So, and God told her not to try to understand. How can I understand any of these things? I cannot understand them. I believe them. I don't have to understand them. God is faith and not understanding. We just believe what he said. Okay, so if God is faith, then he is what? Revelation. Now, I understand that there's many, like a Baptist, who say, have you received the Holy Ghost? How do they say it? Anyway, it should be, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? But I think they said, when you believed, okay? When you believe. Well, now, you see, if you got the Holy Ghost, you're going to understand. So he's talking to a bunch of people here who don't understand. And he's saying, well, you really don't have to understand the ins and outs of it, but you really do have to understand, because if you got the Holy Ghost, he'll lead you into all truth. How are you going to go to all truth if you don't understand what's truth and what's not truth? All right? So Brother Brown's not saying you got to be an idiot and follow God. He's saying you got to believe. Well, now, what is a belief? What is a belief system? It's an understanding of a certain thing. All right? So, you know, let's just get all the English and all the facts right, that, you know, it's not a total lack of understanding he's talking about. It's saying that, look, I don't understand all these visions, how they work, but I know they work, all right? I don't understand the ins and outs of the rapture and how we're going to be changed, but you know what? I believe it. All right? Now, compare God's Eden to Satan's Eden. After 6,000 years of perverting of the true interpretation of God's promised word to the age, now let's compare it now and see where it gets to. So notice then, Satan's kingdom is set up by a perversion of the truth. Just like I said that, you know, adultery and fornication is a perversion of a righteous act, okay? So he takes what is righteous and perverts it, like he did to the church in Christ's time, in Jesus, trying to keep back God's, in Jesus, trying to keep back God's loyal sons from knowing them, knowing the truth. That's what Satan did, okay? That's God, that's God put his son here. Okay, now that's kind of improper English, but that's okay. Anyway, says, but that God put here, put his sons here. It shouldn't be that, okay? His attributes, his fellowship with him by hearing his word. Now, Matthew 23:13 says, but woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, and your hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven. That means you close it down, okay, against men. For you neither go in yourselves, notice their motive, neither suffer you to them that are entering to go in. So, in other words, if I can't do it, you can't do it. All right? I don't want to do it, so I'm not going to let you do it. All right? Now, Romans 1:18 says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unright wiseness of men who hold the truth in unright wiseness. All right? So they're holding on to a wrong understanding. Now, what if you are a loyal son of your father, and he told you, son, don't go in that water out there swimming because there's gators in that water. Now, you might not understand how gators got in the water. You might not understand how many there are. You might not understand what size they are, but your father said don't do it because that's believing, okay? Now, a fellow comes back and says, surely such pretty water as that, there's no gators in it. Now, who are you going to listen to? If you're a genuine son, you listen to your daddy, and a genuine son or daughter of God takes God's word first. I don't care what anybody else says about it. They take God's word first. There's poison in the camp, and they believe it. Having faith in all his word, his seed, brought a Eden of holiness and love and eternal life. That's what God's Eden produces, holiness, and it brought an Eden of holiness, of love, understanding, perfection, and eternal life. That's what God's planning, his word, his seed. That's what his church will be at the end. It'll be the same thing. Now, verse 46, or paragraph 46 of Satan's Eden. Now, notice, here's a thought. Don't forget, I'll get to some the other time or some the other message, but, you know, God said, let every seed bring forth of his kind. Is that God's commandment? Now, what good is any preacher or anything else try to make the word say something else, see? Every word of God is a seed. Jesus said so. A seed, a sower, so. And if Mark 16 is God's word, it'll bring forth of his kind. If it's Malachi 4, it's God's word. It'll bring forth of its kind. And every other promise must bring forth of its kind. Now, I received an email from a brother from South America. And you know, he was mentioning about, you know, he's taught from John 1, 1 to 5, and 1 John 1, 1 to 5, and Genesis 1 and 3, and Hebrews 1, 1 to 3, and just different scriptures. And I said, well, you know, those are good scriptures. It's very good that you're using them. He said, well, how do the principles, you know, fit into them that Brother Vail taught? And I said, well, you know, Brother Vail said that about 80 to 85% of his sermons, he preached vindication. And he told me, he said, Brian, he said, if you preach vindication, Alpha is Omega. In other words, understanding the first age and the last age are the same. First message, last message, first ministry, last ministry. Okay, and then you bring in twins, which means you preach the negative and the positive. See, you can't preach a message that's all positive because it's skewed. You have to preach and show both sides of the issue, the parallelism of Scripture, okay? So I told him those are the three ones. Now, there's others, you know, like sowing and reaping and tithing, things like that. But, you know, those weren't really, you know, he preached maybe a message or two in stewardship on those things. But the main emphasis was those three doctrines, and because, you know, you understand who's Melchizedek by understanding those doctrines, etc. So anyway, what I'm trying to say is that every promise of God will bring forth of his kind, and we're sitting here looking possibly this spring for a resurrection. Okay, now remember, it goes from when does spring start this year? Anybody know?
March 1st,
and it goes to June 21st. Goes to June 21st. No, not March 1st. Is what?
21st.
Yeah. So it's 3 months from, well, actually March 21st to June 21st. Okay. So that's a long time from now. I mean, it's coming up, but it's also can go for a few months. But you know, then people ask me the question, you know, last week about, well, how is it that, you know, Trump, you know, if we're right on Daniel 8, you know, that Trump was basically become powerless. And but now he's going to win it all and come back in power. I said, well, just a minute. How do we know that? All right. All we know is that this USA, you can just look at this past week, you know, Putin flew a nuclear bomber, okay? He's showing his people that they're ready for it. He's told the public that they're ready for it, okay? So the nuclear is going to fly one of these days. And see, he feels righteous because he feels like they are a Christian nation, but the U.S. has become a sodomite nation. And he's right. So he, you know, he has every right, so to speak, to think that way. And so he's going to fulfill Scripture by doing it, all right? So don't think that God didn't spur him on, all right, to judge this nation. So it's going to happen soon. So you got to get your eyes on Christ, what he's doing now, and see the word made manifest, okay? Now, okay, so Brother Branham says, you see Satan out here in disguise. He's trying to say it's not so. Do you understand it? See, Satan says, oh, that ain't for this day. So we'll just continue to preach our Pentecostal message. That was for some other time. That don't even mean that. Every seed must bring forth of his kind, though. That's how God establishes Eden. Is that right? And here it is. That's how God establishes his Eden. Every word after his kind. Men should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I guess that should be in red. Okay. See, Satan, he will take something else, but God said every seed after his kind. If that promise said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Okay. Now, the church says, well, join the church. Recite the creed. Know the catechism. Let's just put it this way. The church says, join the church, okay? Recite the parousia. Recite the Godhead, okay? The creed. Know the catechism. And there's not such a thing in the whole Bible. But Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. All right? In other words, you can preach Godhead correctly and be a denomination. I know of one. I've been in correspondence with them. And you can preach the parousia and be a denomination because the Jehovah's Witnesses do. So you can preach truth and still not have it. That's what I'm saying. All right. But in my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. If they take up serpents or drink deadly things, it won't harm them. If they lay their hands on the sick, they shall recover. Who is any man to deny that? In other words, I don't care if you see it or you don't see it. I don't care if you are having those things manifested in your life or they are not. God said them. They got to happen. You hold on to everything that God told you. Just because you don't see them doesn't make them not real. There's going to be very few people that do see him. Just like I preached that message a few months ago about the 50-some-odd, not odd, but, you know, different things that God has done that were strictly supernatural in my life, and I was a witness to what he was doing. I did not cause the rainbow to come. I did not cause the storm to stop. I did not cause, you know, the winds to quit blowing. God did them. And you know what? He told me, what are you sitting there on your duff for? Get up and tell and speak. All right. And that's what I did. Just exactly. I did what he told me. Now, that doesn't make me any more than just your brother. It means that God did it. Moses did not part the Red Sea. I'm sorry if you think that. You're screwed up. Excuse me. I'm just using that word. You're messed up. Okay. Paul did not perform miracles. It wasn't Paul. It wasn't Jesus. He said, I can do nothing but what the Father shows me first. So who was it? It was the Father showing first what to do. Simply being a son of God is saying, look, if I want these signs to follow them that believe, then I'm going to believe. That's it. Now, it's up to God to do them or not. If God doesn't do them, then, you know, if there's a need and I've come the same way someone else did and God doesn't honor that, then God's a respecter of persons. And you know what? God can't be a respecter of persons. Then God lied. And yet, you know what? God can't lie. So there's something wrong with my belief. I should check my own belief, okay? And there are sacrifices is accepted, and our sacrifice is accepted, and we're brought into the family because yet straying out in the world, we were ordained sons and daughters of God before the foundation of the world. Thank you for that, Father. Oh, how could anyone ever turn back on something like that? When they found the truth that God has selected them out of the world, there were millions lost the day that I was saved. O dying Lamb, how can I ever thank you? How can my heart ever be reverent enough before you? Help me, dear God, to live true. Help my people to live true. I pray for them, Lord, everyone, that you will. God, somehow I don't know how, just how to ask, Lord. I mean, of not even asking in the right manner. Now remember, Brother Branham, he didn't know what to do at all. God was on his heart, so he didn't even know how to spell. So he just put up the alphabet, basically, on a tree and figured that God would figure out what he meant. All right? So if you don't have those things happening in your life, and the manifestation of the sons of God is a reality, and you're not having them in your life, check your own believing. That's all I'm saying. I'm not getting mad at you. I'm not saying that, you know, that you don't got it. I'm just saying that your approach has been wrong, you know, because your objective is right, so you got that much going for you. But your motive has been wrong because you're thinking you're waiting for God to do some super-duper tremendous miracle, and the miracle is that you're breathing. Amen. And the miracle is that every time you inhale, you're breathing more life into you. And the miracle is that when you eat, you grow, and you reproduce fibers in your body. And the miracle is that you're living, okay? Let's just start there. So if you can't thank God for that, then I don't know what you can start thanking him for. But once you start thanking him for your breath, for every time he helps you with no matter what it is, going to the bathroom or whatever it is, and I'm just saying that not to be facetious, I'm saying that to be a reality. How many children, they say, Mommy, help me, you know, and they want to learn how to go to the bathroom. Well, that's the same way with adults too. You know, and, you know, so just get off your high horse and realize that the pillar of fire is on the scene, that he is trying to get a hold of you. Don't be so interested in your job or your wife or your family or whatever and put God second. Put him first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all these others will happen. But just keep seeking, because he only comes to those who are looking for him, okay? But you forgive my ignorance, he says, Lord, and just look at my heart. I pray that not one of them will be lost, not one of them, Father. I claim them, every one for you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and so do I. I pray for everybody that I know of that's listening to these sermons. I pray for them that they will affect their life. You know, I had a young man who was a typical message believer, who said he believed in Brother Branham and believed in the message, but was never taught the reality of God. And so he just, he'd get caught up into this or that. And, he'd fall and, stumble and everything else. But it's like a young child learning to walk. But I reached out, and we've had contact every day. And that brother has become a very good believer. He loves this message, and he loves everything that's happening. He's just turned him around. All right? He is so thankful to have his eyes opened. All right? Now, God's word did that because it's not me. He said he's been listening to all the sermons, and just that word is just creating something in him. It should do that in you too. Okay? Now, I would like to approach the word of God in light of this statement. Now, remember, we were dealing with having the same attitude or mindset that Jesus has, as we read in 1 Peter. For as much as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. I can say that's true. When you've gone through a stroke, you live your life for him. You don't live your life for other things anymore. Okay? Now then, if we are to arm ourselves with the same mind that Jesus armed himself with, then we will also do what Jesus did. You see, God deals first with our mind, then with the rest of our being. Our body, our soul, our spirit, when God sanctifies us, it is not just in our thinking, but it must move from our thinking into our actions, thus throughout our entire body, our soul, and our spirit. You know, you don't have just a body when you have life. You have a body, soul, and spirit. And if this word is to give us our life, everything that we have need of, then it takes over the soul and the and spirit as well. Now, we took our study from to the book of Romans, beginning with chapter 12, and viewing the progression of the change from the mind first and then into the body, bringing even our action under submission. I believe Paul says, let me just read it for you because I'm having a little bit of... Okay. Well, yeah, be transformed in the renewing of your mind, okay? And then he says in verse 3, which is, he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So let me just read it for you. Romans 12 and verse. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, which is holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Well, the NIV says, which is your spiritual act of worship. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, how do you know God's will? Because his word tells you what his will is. So I believe it is necessary that we see the importance of passive faith first, coming first, before we can have an active faith. Because passive faith, you know, Brother Vail preached on this for about 10 weeks solid, and I was there, and he said, how many of you understand what active faith is and passive faith? And I raised my hand. I was the only one in that church that raised my hand. Do you know that? And I told Brother Vail, I said, in our church, on Wednesday nights, we sat in a circle, and I just had them read Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1, and go through verse 6. And we read every single verse. And I said, now, is that God doing it? Or is that your response to what God has done? By the time we got through there, the first round we had just one person got one wrong. I didn't make an issue of it. I just said, well, actually, no, it's not. But let's just look at why it's not, okay? But then we read through second verse, third verse, fourth verse, fifth verse, sixth verse. Not one. That was children 6 years old that could read all the way to adulthood. Not one person got the scripture wrong. They knew it was either God or they knew it was our response to what God is doing. I told that to Brother Vail, and he started then their Friday night talk session because he thought they would do the same. Now, the problem is that if you go into the thing thinking you know and you really don't, then you're going to mess up. But if you go into it and say, okay, let's just take it one thought at a time. Is this God or is this me? Then you will certainly know. Now, I believe it's necessary that we see the importance of passive faith coming first before we can have an active faith. I also want you to understand that passive faith kept isolated and alone is not a fulfillment of the principles of God either. Many people have a passive faith. You know, God's prophet did it, God's prophet did it, God's prophet did it. But they don't have an active faith, which is their response to it. All right? Therefore, their fruit for the season is not correct. Now, we know that for the past few weeks, we've been studying Brother Branham's message pertaining to our understanding in the mind that it must come first. Then once we have something in the mind to deal with, God will anoint this understanding in our minds, and it will then drop down into our soul, and then it becomes a spiritual revelation. Then as a spiritual revelation, it will guide us and keep us in the way. It will direct our being, our whole or complete being, body, soul, and spirit, thus taking over the control of the triune being. Now, Brother Branham taught us from Intervale, he said, there is an intellectual faith and there's a faith that comes from the heart. Most people have intellectual faith. God sent a prophet. That's it. It's not hard to understand. It's not hard to have an intellectual faith because that's the first place we've got to come to, intellectual faith. But most people don't have a faith that comes from the heart. And we read in Ezekiel that God gives a new heart, which is a new understanding first. Then he gives us a new spirit, which is a new desire. And finally, when we are ready to give us, then finally he's ready to give us his spirit. Now, let's just read it for ourselves. Ezekiel, and a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. Now, when he says a new heart will I give you, that Brother Branham says that's the understanding. Okay? And a new spirit I will put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. Now, notice he causes us. The Son did nothing but what the Father showed him first. And ye shall keep my judgments and do them, and ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. Now, from the message Impersonation of Christianity, Brother Branham said, God had to give you a new heart, not a patched up one, a new heart. That's your intellects that you think with, a new way of thinking. Then he gives you a new way of thinking. Yes, that's right. Then he said after that, then I'll give you a new spirit. What's that? A new desire. After you get a new heart and a new spirit, he said, then I'll put my spirit, his spirit, part of the Logos in you, controlling your emotion. So we see then that the new heart is a new way of thinking and or a new mindset. Then it brings with it a new desire in your heart. He that hungers and thirsts for righteousness shall what? Be filled. Then this new desire opens the door of your heart to let the Holy Spirit in to take complete control by his word, which is the Logos. So with God's word taking its place in your heart, his word then becomes your typepost in your soul. And your soul has only one thing it can do, and that is to receive or reject the word of God. And this is done before you receive the Holy Spirit. Now, once you receive the Word of God into your soul, you are sealed by the Spirit of the Word. And anything contrary to the Word won't ring a bell with you, as Brother Branham liked to put it. Then what happens is that you begin to discern all things by the Word. You compare spiritual things with spiritual and measure everything that comes into your mind by the Word of God. Then until a person has received the word of God into their soul, they cannot tell the difference between any word and God's word. And that's the truth. That's why there's so many churches. And I don't say this to be me against the message. I say this because I know it. I've been to other churches, okay? I mean, good gracious, listen, they had a doctrine over in Congo that said, no, now that we've got Now that we've got the doctrine, can we eat snake? Yeah. Just like they say, well, now that we got the doctrine, we can't eat meat. I mean, give me a break. That is so stupid. I've never heard such in all my life. But people fall into that gullibility, okay? Because the word, when it comes into your soul, becomes the absolute of your life, and everything that you think, do, or say is brought back to the word of God to see its fulfillment, that it fulfills the word or not, okay? Now, in 1 Corinthians 2, 10 to 12, 14, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit, that's God's Spirit, there's only one the Spirit, God's Spirit, searches all things. He does. He searches to and fro. See? Yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God knows. And now I added the word knows, but that's what it means. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So God gives us his Spirit that we might know. So when Brother Brown says you don't have to understand, you just have to believe, well, he's talking, in one case, I know he's talking to a teenage girl. In other cases, he might have said it in the pulpit, and he's talking to people that were unbelievers or people that just didn't have the Holy Ghost. I believe that Brother Bram said, when he said, to see is to understand, when Jesus said, unless you have the Holy Ghost, you won't understand the kingdom of God, that's what he said, then how can you come back and say you don't have to understand? Now, you might not understand the details, like, I don't understand how nuclear physics works, but I know it works. All right, I don't know, I don't know a whole lot about electricity, but I know how to wire it. And I know by the principle of electricity, it'll work. So, yeah, you've got to understand which things we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things to spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. So he says, for they are foolishness unto him, and neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. It's impossible for him to know. All right. Now, what am I trying to address to you is this. First, namely, we are to receive an understanding first. That is a part of the true fivefold ministry's play in this great drama. They bring the true understanding of the Scripture to our minds. Next, this new understanding creates a desire in our hearts for God's word. And finally, God sends his word into our hearts by the Holy Ghost, who is our actual teacher, and he anoints the understanding in our hearts, thus becoming a spiritual revelation. Brother Brown said, we begin by a intellectual understanding, but when the Holy Spirit anoints it, it drops down into our heart and becomes a dynamic revelation. All right. So that is why John said in 1 John 21 that we have an unction, an anointing from the Holy One, that we might know all things. Now this revelation then takes over the guiding of our whole body, soul, and spirit, thus perfecting the believer by the washing of water by the Word. So in effect, every fiber of our body is becoming subject to the Word of God, which lives and abides in our heart, bringing us into the captivity to the Word for the day in which we live, and bringing us into subjection to it. We are not compelled to be Lutherans. We're not compelled to be Methodists or even Pentecostals. It's not the message for the day. The message for the day is to believe all the Word, all, A-double-L, all the Word. Thus, the sacrifice becomes a living sacrifice, not just a mental conception. And as that actually changes the actions done in the body. Now, Romans 7 and 14, Paul tells us the law is spiritual and not for the flesh. For if it were for the flesh, then we could expect to fulfill the law by our flesh. But since it is spiritual and not for the flesh, then the flesh can in no way fulfill it. Therefore, God does not look upon the flesh, but upon the desires in our heart. And thus, although your desires may be righteous and holy, yet your body may be backslide 1,000 times daily due to the mixed nature because of Eve's transgression. Now notice how this ties with what Brother Bram said. God will not come into your heart to fill it with the Holy Spirit, which is the Word, until the desires have been changed. All right? Now, you must receive a new understanding first, then a new desire, which he called a new spirit. And once you receive this new desire, then God will come into you by his word. God doesn't come into your heart the first minute you have this new understanding. Oh, no. There is an order to his coming. He is looking for the desire to be changed first, and then he will come. Many people have heard the gospel and seem to receive it gladly for a short space of time, but before the desires are changed, they fall away and thus never come to this new desire. And why is that? Because God sends them a testing of this new understanding. And because they are not predestinated to pass the test, they come up short and easily offended by the word. Some people come so far, but when the word speaks of things that hit them in the pocketbook, or speaks of things that we should do, or a manner of living that makes them lose their popularity with the guys or girls, then they lose what desire that they did have, and before they know it, they fall away from the truth. Now, Brother Bram said, God will not place his word in just anybody. He will not place his spirit in just anybody. You see, this truth of this doctrine of the message is not for everybody. It's just not for them, all right? So we find in Hebrews 12, Paul says, Paul teaches us, every son that comes to God must first be tried and tested. And if you can't take the testing, then you are not a true son of God, but a bastard born, meaning you are illegitimate to the word. Now Matthew, again, 13 says, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh a wicked one and catches away that which is sown in his heart. So this lack of understanding opens you up for the devil. That's why there's righteousness, right wiseness, and unrighteousness, which is unright wiseness. Now this is he which receiveth the seed by the wayside, but he that receiveth the seed in stony ground, the same is he that heareth the word, and none with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches chokes the word, and the word becomes unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understands it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth with patience, some 100-fold and some 30-fold. So you will notice the first group mentioned are those who hear the word, but because they do not understand it, the devil is able to step in and take what understanding they did receive away from them, and thus they simply fall away from the truth. Then there are those who hear the word, but when the trials begin, they can't take it, and because they too do not really understand what it is all about, they give up and they fall. They too fall away from the truth. Then we have the Laodicean bunch, who get caught up into the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches, and these things choke off the word, and it cannot bring forth in these people what is meant to be brought forth. These are the foolish virgins who run but do not finish the race. They are caught in the trap called the deceitfulness of riches, money, 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 the root of all evil, and notice that these riches are called deceitful. Since this group does not have a full understanding, they too fall short of receiving the true word of God, which is the Holy Spirit, into their hearts, and thus they come up short. But notice the group that comes up all the way in the true baptism of the Holy Spirit. They are the ones who hear the word and understand it in their hearts, and because they understand it, are not caught up by the deceitfulness of riches, because it can't be deceived. They are focused and ready, and thus the word brings forth fruit in them, some even 100-fold. All right. So you can see how important understanding is to the believer. And that is why Eve fell. Notice Eve had an understanding, but knew better than to partake with the serpent, because she was told the serpent that we must not eat of the forbidden tree. It is cursed. And yet the serpent pulled one over on her and got her to eat anyway. He didn't tell her that her understanding was wrong entirely, but he told her that she just didn't quite have the full understanding of the picture. And so he explained it away from her. And so she stepped out from behind the protection of the word, and she fell for his interpretation or understanding of the word. And that's exactly what we are warned of will happen in 2 Peter 2. Now, I'll just read it for you. All right. The Weiss translation. But as there arose false prophets among the people, even so also among you, there shall be false teachers who will be of such as to bring in alongside of true doctrine destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who purchased them, bringing upon them swift destruction. So if they brought into the message, then they came from the outside. They were Pentecostals before, now they're message people. But they didn't change their doctrine, all right? They do not understand the God correctly as taught by the prophet. See, he says, even denying the Lord who purchased them. All right, bring upon themselves with destruction. They don't understand the Godhead. And many follow their licentious conduct to its consummation, on account of whom the way of truth will be reviled. See, these men will come into the message and give a wrong understanding of the Word of God, and the people will be caught up into what these men say as evil interpreters of the Word. And in a sphere of covetousness, with fabricated words, they'll exploit you. It has to do with money, exploit. See? Making themselves rich at your expense and the expense of your soul. For whom from ancient times their judgment has not been idle. These men will come into the message and give a wrong understanding of the Word of God, and the people will be caught up into what these men say as evil interpreters of the Word of truth. So in Romans 1:18, we're told that these men will actually hold down or suppress the truth. Why? Because they have their own personal motives for getting you away from the truth. In 2 Timothy 3:13, we're told that these men would deceive, are also deceive themselves. All right? We've already read that. Now, Ephesians 4:14 says, and we're also told, these men actually lie in wait to deceive. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about of every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So these are men with ulterior motives. That is why Brother Bram always told us to check our motives. Motives play a very important part and really tell a lot from where you have your source. Then Jesus came, he said, no matter what your religion is, if you believe Jesus Christ to be God's son and have accepted him as your savior, you are my brother and sister. And if you accepted, and if God accepted you with your peculiarities and I with my peculiarities, we should be thankful enough to recognize each other as brothers and sisters. See, and we're all working for one great purpose, and that's for his kingdom. And anything different from that would be the wrong motive anyhow. Okay, so we see in John 3:19, or 3 and verse 19:21, we see the actions of the two groups of people. One who flees from the word and won't go near it, and the others who run to it. And their motive is exposed by the flight pattern, just as the yellow wobbler, etc. So Matthew 23:13 tells us, we are told, those who oppose the truth will not allow others to go in because they won't go in themselves. Why? Because John told us that they would be exposed to the light. Ephesians 5:13 tells us that all things are exposed by the light. So we know that the light exposes it. It actually, see, you can sit in this message for 20 and 40 years, okay? And you don't change. Like one guy said, bless God, I've been in this message 40 years and I haven't changed a bit. Well, if I've been in this message even 2 weeks and haven't changed, I haven't been born again, okay? Because when you're born again, you change, all right? And the light changes you. So in Acts 20, we see, for I have not shunned you, declaring to you the full gospel of God. Now this is something that's repeated. All right. Notice he says, know them by their fruit, which Brother Bram taught us is a teaching for the season. 2 Thessalonians 2 says, I would like to read, every kind of wicked deception, gear the gullibility of those who are perishing. This gullibility being caused by the fact that they did not accept the love for the truth to the end they might be saved. And for this cause, God will send them a deluding influence resulting in their believing the lie in order that they might be damned or might be judged who did not believe the truth but took delight in wickedness. All right, so in closing, let's just read a few scriptures. 1 Timothy 4:1 tells us, that these are seducing spirits and doctrines of devils we see in the last time, Satan's messengers masquerading as angels of the light, which is 2 Corinthians 11. For such people are false apostles, deceitful workers, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder that for Satan himself masqueraded as an angel of light. You can't read any of the Pauline epistles without understanding the parallelism of Scripture. Paul was just as negative as he is positive. All right? So it's not surprising then that his servants would masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve. Okay? So Paul calls them the super fine apostles, more righteous than God is righteous, but false to the bone. And look what they did to the early church. I hope you will not. I hope you will put up with me and my little foolishness. Yes, please put up with me. I'm jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promised you to one husband to Christ so that I might present you as a chaste virgin. But I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds are somehow being led astray from your sincere and pure devotion of Christ. For if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than what than the Jesus we have preached, or if you received a spirit from you received a different spirit from the spirit you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it so easily. In other words, you're not being discerning. All right? Now, Galatians 1, he says, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion, trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we, that's Paul, from or an angel from heaven should, you know, the angel of the Lord even, should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be under God's curse. As we have said, already said so, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you have accepted, let him be under God's curse. In other words, Hebrews 6, they fall away, they're cursed, okay? He's not saying, well, it's, you know, it's I'll put it this way. You cannot fall away. You were in his mind before the foundation of the world. You see through all the ways of Satan, okay? I'll just lay it out that simple. They worship me in vain. Their teaching are merely human rules. You have let go of your commandments of God and are holding to the human traditions. And he continued, you have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. They reject the word of God in favor of their own teaching. And what does that do? It voids the power of God in their lives. Thus, they crucify the word to themselves. Hebrews 6, it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, who have tasted of the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit. Now notice, they can't crucify God, who is a spirit, but they can crucify the word to themselves. That's what they're doing. They're actually crucifying the Holy Ghost to themselves. He didn't say they're crucifying the Holy Ghost. He said to themselves. All right? And be marveled at, 2 Thessalonians, okay? And how they do it? Okay, they're doing it by their traditions and their creeds, okay? Now, 2 Thessalonians 1, on the day that he comes to be glorified in his people and be marveled at all them of those who have believed, this includes you because you believed our testimony to you. So we are to receive his glory, his doxa, his saints in this hour, in the saints that are the very mind of God. Ephesians 1:17 says, the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of him, hath the eyes of your understanding, you know, more enlightened. So we see that his plan is, we see his plan for us, but we also see by this Satan's plan is to pervert what God is trying to do, okay? So in closing, 2 John 1:9, watch out that you do not lose what you have worked for, but that you have be rewarded fully. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. So he's warning us not to place ourselves in a place where we will lose what we have worked for, and then goes on to tell us how we could do this. He that transgresses, which means to go beyond the limits of doctrine, that's how you lose it, by having a certain knowledge and then adding your own thinking to what God's thoughts are. Okay, let's just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for you, and we just ask you, Lord, to be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.